Well, this hour, let's take your calls with Dr. Kimberly McGeorge as we talk about possession and all those other strange things on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge with us. Kimberly, what would you say your expertise is?
Ooh, frequency.
Frequencies. And frequencies are?
Frequencies are how we're listening to your amazing, wonderful show.
That's it's one.
It's a broadcast that we're putting out, or that we're receiving, and the broadcast that we're putting out is the frequencies of every single thing within our mind. Even thoughts can be a frequency and can be read by our technology. Beliefs can be a frequency. Emotions, virus, hormones, brain chemicals, history, trauma. I mean, everything. Everything's frequency.
When you are in this mode, and do you have to get into the mode in order to see entities and things like that?
No, but I have to get out of the mode in order to not see them.
Now, how do you get out of it?
I just shut it off. I mean, way I see things, it's, you know, you were asking about me being possessed, like things coming into me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling you it's the opposite. So how I used to operate before I had my technology as a naturopath and as a medical intuitive is I have the ability to completely go into somebody else. Basically, I guess you could say, quote, end of quote, possess them and hear what they're thinking, see through their eyes, crawl around their body, have their memories, have their emotions. And when I used to work like that, of course, I never explained it till I stopped doing it because that would, you know, shock people and they probably wouldn't love it. You know, that's a hard way to get information. There's a huge energy cost to that. And I could be highly traumatized because, you know, imagine being able to, you know, not everybody is, you know, like Snow White, you know, dancing through the forest or anything. There's some pretty dark people out there that aren't even people, that are other beings, which is another whole story. But yeah, so I don't do that anymore. I call myself the lazy psychic now because, you know, I let the technology and you as the individual tell me everything. And I just become the interpreter based on being a naturopath for so many years. You know, when something comes up out of you, like if, you know, if a parasite, you know, three parasites ping, you know I can assist you with parasites and I can help you interpret what your body is saying. Or if you do have an entity, you know, I can help you with that. So, yeah.
Is possession common?
It is so common. It would blow your mind. Like if we went to a public place and sat there and I showed you, you know, that person has entities, that person has human discarnate, that person has three demons. Like, yeah, because we're not taught about this stuff. We're taught that this stuff is hush hush. It's in the movies. It's horror movies. It's secret. It's in the church. It's exorcism. It's commonplace, part of the human condition, part of a spirit inhabiting a container and not being taught how to maintain psychic protection.
All right, let's go to the phones. Karen is with us in Vancouver, Washington, west of the Rockies. Hi, Karen. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Once before, I called in and talked to a psychic, and she mentioned that there was a woman standing by my cedar chest, and she was mad, and she's the one that's been making me sick for so many years, and I was just wondering if she's still around.
You can't see things, Kimberly, this way, Kimberly?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm right here. I can go there. I can go right there. No, I do not see a woman. You're very interesting, though. There's a lot of family around you, though, just so you know, in a positive way, and you can be helped, by the way. You just haven't found the root of some of the things going on with you. But the only thing beings that I see around you are family that have passed. I don't see a woman. I don't see strangers. I see people that have a connection to you. You're actually very loved and supported.
What do you think of that, Karen?
Oh, thank you so much. That really makes me feel a lot better.
Yeah, she's gone.
All right,
I'm not saying she wasn't there, but she's gone.
Super. When you get this feeling, Kimberly, what creates it?
you know, I don't know. It's just who I am. It's just,
it just comes to you now.
And there is no past. There is no future. I believe that you can do what I do. I believe the person on the street. I think we all, as infinite, you know, consciousness, eternal consciousness, have this ability. We just have this limited body that, and all these 3D distractions. And it goes back to what I keep saying. I don't think we're taught the truth about our reality. And hopefully on Friday, I'm kind of hoping on Friday we'll get some truth. I'm not so sure, but I'm hoping.
You're talking about with the UFO report?
Absolutely. I'm not holding my breath, but I would like to get some truth.
We'll probably get a report that says, we don't know what they are.
Oh, no, please.
So with some of these entities, what if they don't want to leave the house or the body and you're kind of stuck with them? Then what do you do?
No, you're not. Well, I'm not. Well, if you know me, you're not.
You're not. We may be.
It goes back to relationship and authority. So these beings, you know, I just was talking about infinite consciousness. I believe that you and I, George, are infinite consciousness and there is no death. I mean, we've probably been here before and we'll probably be around millions and billions and trillions of years, which even though I don't think there's any time, but it's the same thing with a lot of these entities and, you know, beings. And so when you remember who you are, and I do know who I am, I have recovered a lot of my memory and I have authority. These beings know me. They know what's going to happen to them if they don't leave. And I think a lot of us, if we remembered who we are, we would realize that we're probably higher in the pecking order than 95% of these things that trouble us.
Next up, let's go to Joe in Monterey, California, on the wildcard line. Joseph, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Sure.
Okay. Not many people know about extraterrestrial possession. They see the standard possession by demons that come into the body or in the aura. But extraterrestrial possession is with technology also that groups have an egregore, which is a group consciousness, and can be influenced by that. Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it is negative, like certain cults, mind control cults and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd add that into the mix. And other types of possession, indigenous people use possession in positive ways. They call on their ancestors. They call to inhabit their body, prophets, or throughout time. Soothsayers sometimes channel. It's just a form of channeling. Possession is a type of incorporating another consciousness. There are beings that travel. They call them spiritual travelers. And sometimes psychics will employ them, and they will live in the individual. They are not negative. They're just souls that travel. They could be extraterrestrial souls, not from the planet Earth. They can be masters. A spiritual master can actually come into the person and teach from the inside out. That is possible. It's rare. And then there's forms of martial arts. One particular form that I used to practice, and I don't do that anymore. They're like a deity. It's a Tibetan form of martial arts where the practitioner, the martial artist, will incorporate a. And this is another race of beings, a very powerful race. They're like deities in a way. They're very powerful, and when they go into battle, they go into battle with the deity in them. And they become more powerful, and that's an experience.
Thoughts, Kimberly?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Another term for positive possession or more positive possession would be called channeling. That's actually, you know, kind of what you're referring to. I love how you differentiated all those different types, and I love something you brought up right away at the beginning, which we work with a lot, which is the presence of this AI kind of Borg mind. We see a lot now, especially taking over people and possibly seeing a lot. This probably veers way off into a too long discussion. But we see a lot of avatars or bodies with no soul and just AI. So very, very interesting that you brought that up.
Are there any myths associated with some of your work that people have just basically distorted?
Yeah, like all of it.
Really?
No, it's layer, you know, myths that and some are true. I mean, you know, salt has a place, sage has a place. Those are myths and legends. You watch shows like Supernatural, and it's all like salt, you know, salt and burn the bones with gasoline. You know, some of those myths are true, but it's so, my beef, and you'll hear me say this about everything if you ever talk to me again, it's individual, where salt might work with some, or sage might work with some, or a priest might work with some, or holy water. It doesn't work with all. It has to be case by case. So people are like, why don't you write a book? I'm like, how could I write a book about possession? Because I could, but it'd be like 1,000 stories. And I think we miss wholeness, and we miss ascension, and we miss activating our psychic abilities because we're looking for this generic answer. But each individual soul, you know, fragment of consciousness is so exquisite and so special. We have to address each situation, you know, one by one.
Let's go to Brendan in Austin, Texas. Hello, Brendan. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, guys. I have a question and an experience for you guys. Thank you, everybody. So how I work at a factory, and a lot of the stuff that comes through my hands are like satanic objects. And for people Wow. that are handling satanic memorabilia for their jobs, you know, like what I'm not like doing anything with it. I'm just giving it to somebody else, but it's still in my Okay. hands. How do we protect ourselves? And that's just a real simple question. But well, I mean, I say simple, you know, but so my experience is that, and this is a little bit hardcore, it's a totally radio friendly or whatever, but so my stepdad, he was involved in Satanism. My girlfriend, her stepdad was involved in Satanism. Both of us have had really extreme experiences with, demonic type things and possession. And, how do we protect ourselves if maybe our family has, say, put me in some sort of ritual as a child and targeted me, and that's still following me as an adult? And also, just on a side note, in this really bad apartment that I had these experiences in, I've talked about it, I saw people around me being possessed. And I'm kind of a wounded healer. Like, a lot of people come to me for healing. And I think I'm an empath, but I'm really hurt myself. I'm really hurting. And why is it that some people are possessed and other people are not? You know, I saw like people dropping like flies around me, and I was okay. But I don't get that, you know?
What causes that, Kim?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's your show.
Well, first of all, you are... And like I said, every situation is different, but you are very, very gifted naturally with gifts, what I would call near the top, easily activated, and you do use them. And you are what I call a more ancient soul. So it goes back to our beliefs, too, about what is here. What do you believe about what is here? So that gives us a different perspective, too. I don't believe, you know, this is a hardcore physical reality. I believe this is a hologram on the deck of a ship, which we could actually see, you know, our ship on the pole, on the SECCHI cams, S-E-C-C-H-I, I think they are. So if you understand that this possibly could be an illusion, things change. So how did you get here? Now, there's the Earth school theory, which I do not subscribe to. Of course, anything can be a school, and you can make the best of it. I subscribe more to the Earth prison theory. So then you were either captured, or you volunteered to come here, or like me, I was actually volunteered and captured. You know, I'm that dumb. But you were, I believe, were captured. And so you're here, and you're not going to be put in a position that makes it easy for you because of your power. Everything here goes back to power. And some of the most powerful people on this planet are the most oppressed. They were put in satanic families. There's a lot of genetic engineering that's been going on for years and years and years. I have family that works in cloning, and we know that you know, the sex education, how we're taught things happen, isn't necessarily 100% of the time how things happen. So all that to say is I can hear the pain in your voice. And if you want to get a hold of me outside, I'm happy to maybe give you a few more details that might not be appropriate for like the entire world to hear. But there's a lot of hope for you. And as far as protection, again, your field's going to ask for certain things. There are crystals that can help. Essential oils are marvelous. Believe it or not, they're so high vibrating. They're the lifeblood of plants. They have a beautiful aura, and a lot of negative beings do not like it. So one of the things that you can do is, find an essential oil that you like and rub it between your hands. It could be lavender, it could be tea tree, it could be anything, but that puts off that high frequency and that vibration, and it will kind of keep things at bay from you, even if you're touching cursed items.
And let me ask Brendan this. Brendan, what kind of place do you work that you have to deal with these satanic relics?
I wouldn't call them relics, but I work at a, let's just say we had the Prime Day recently, and not to just name outright businesses, but yeah, people can buy whatever they want, and I put together the packages and send them off.
Wow.
So people buy all sorts of things, and I have to handle them, you know, and most of the time, it doesn't really bother me, but sometimes it does bother me.
Sure.
Like, I'll get art that's really graphic or like she was saying, the Satanic Bible and stuff, and I'll get really bad feelings off of it sometimes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And those are real feelings, Kimberly, aren't they?
Oh, well, especially for him, because he's so sensitive and feels things so deeply, yes.
Next up, let's go to Denver in Illinois. Daniel, welcome to the program. Hi, Daniel.
How you doing, George?
Okay, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, I used to live in Dearborn Heights. I grew up on a street called Princeton Street.
Know it well. I went around those streets as a kid.
Okay, I was going to ask you, did you go to Long Elementary School?
No, I went to Pardee Elementary School.
Okay, great. Yeah, I called in because I'm kind of a comedy act. I do comedy. I see a blue light. I'm the blue light guy. There's a movie about the blue light that I see. It's called Foolish with Eddie Griffin. Red Fox talks about the blue light people. He said, all the great people got the blue light. It's the purest light in the spectrum. God gave us the blue light to shine down on these dark times. Sammy Davis Jr. said, you made it through the blues. That's what I call the blue light. And William Armstrong said, keep that blue light going in the movie Foolish with Eddie Griffin.
Does light have any? You're breaking up a little bit there, Daniel. 30 seconds before the break, Kimberly. Do you deal at all with special light, Kimberly?
Well, frequency, of course, is light. Light's frequency,
sure.
An expression of it. Oddly enough, he's talking about the blue light in a comical way, but in my house in Ohio, I have pictures of, they call it like the orgone, you know, energy that like vibrates, that life force blue, kind of like what we see in the sky. So there is something to, weirdly enough, that there is a life force kind of blue light that vibrates around a lot of things. And again, there also the violet light. When you see violet light in the woods, usually it's an indication there's a portal.
Sounds like it could be your aura. We're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, investigator reporter Cheryl Jones joins us as we talk about some UFO activity. So make sure you're part of the program. And then in our last hour, conversations with Cheryl, we'll take your calls with her on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back, George Norrie with you, Dr. Kimberly McGeorge. Final calls here. Kimberly, you also do a lot of energy healing. How does that work for you?
I do it a couple different ways. The technology I use has frequency output. So when I scan someone and they ping for certain things, I kind of put it all together, put it under some music, and they can kind of play that into their field to balance. I also have the ability to do remote work, you know, from the body scans, although I don't do that as much anymore. Remember, I'm lazy now with the technology. So, and if I'm in the presence of someone, I mean, I'll do pretty old-fashioned, you know, hands-on body energy healing as well.
What have you seen dramatically occur with hands-on healing and energy healing?
Ooh, actually, you know, one of the side effects of dramatic energy healing is generally, first of all, anything that's in them will come out. So in a way, sometimes when you're doing energy healing, you're actually doing depossessions, which is fairly dramatic, obviously. But then, it's mostly emotional healing. I'm going to be honest. The avatar, or the body, takes a while to heal. I haven't seen, I'm not going to lie and say I've seen miraculous instant healings. I have seen some miracles, but it's been through the use of supplements and technology and the person changing and taking action steps. Often we're all looking for that magic pill and we just want to swallow it and our bank accounts will be full and our relationships will be great and our body will be healed. But there is, I call it doing the work. You know, there is always a portion that the client has to do to bring their life into balance.
Okay, let's go to final calls here. Let's pick it up by going to John in Kalamazoo, Michigan. First time caller. Welcome, John. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you doing today?
I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
No, sir. Try to call back and get a better connection for us. But let's go now to Teresa in Sacramento, California. Hello, Teresa.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Okay, I have a question. My husband passed away in 2014, and if you've seen that movie, What Dreams Will Come, with Robin Williams, when his wife is at his burial site, she's crying. She's very sad, and it's because he's around her a lot. I feel the same way. I feel exceptionally really, just really sad a lot, and I miss him so much. And sometimes I feel like he didn't want to leave me, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I feel sometimes he's there, and of course I can't see him, but I would really like to know if he is there with the family and his kids, still there trying to hang on. Is that the way, why I feel this way, or did he leave, or is he still coming back and forth to visit more than he maybe shouldn't or should, or that's my question.
Let me stop you because I see everything that's going on. So there is no should. So let that go. There is no should. They get to choose. So when we pass from this body, the second that we pass, we are the exact same person we are now. Now, he may have improved greatly because, you know, everything changes outside of here, thank goodness. But he seems like he had a really good sense of humor. And he chooses to come back. He chooses to come back out of the close relationship and the affection he has for you and your family. But he is also very busy on other planes of existence doing many things. He is very fulfilled. He is very happy. And he wants you to also be very fulfilled and very happy. And so he keeps coming back and he will continue coming back. It's not moving on. It's a very limiting belief. We have known thousands of beings, and you may have known him in many lives, and you may know him in many lives again. This is not an end, and I encourage you to think of this as an open-ended relationship. And you may ask him, you may say, for him to come to you, you may ask to speak to him, you may ask for him to give you signs, because he will. He is willing to do that. But you don't need me. You don't need a medium. You don't need someone in between you. You can go directly to him and have this relationship with him. And he is willing to continue your relationship. It's a continuation. There was no end.
And when you are saying these things, Kimberly, is he like communicating to you? How do you feel this?
Well, I saw him. He appeared before me, and it's a form of telepathy, which I believe outside of here, we use this weird, unsaid, weird form of communication that I seem to have with all entities that have the ability to travel in and out or out of here.
Let's go to Brooklyn, New York. Shadi is with us, east of the Rockies. Hello, Shadi.
Yes, sir. Hi, Mr. George. I really love your show.
Thank you.
I'm a security guard, and I just joined that Insider. I listen to your show.
Oh, great. You really enjoy it.
Yes. I have a question for Dr. George, McGeorge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I'm from Egypt, and back when I was a kid, I stole, when I was playing, I stole a little something, all the Egyptian thing, and I've been cursed since it. And I have a lot of bad luck. I went to a couple of psychic, and they told me there is a couple of people that they done stuff to me, and is always around me, and I'm always having bad luck, or I always fail and stuff. You know, I can't hold the job for too long, you know, except recently, you know, touch wood.
Everything went wrong with you, huh?
Yeah, everything went wrong with me since this. And when I was an adult, you know, I had a couple of relationships that went bad, and they told me there is a couple of women that they doing stuff, you know, like black men. I went to a lady, you know, that, you know, when you drink a coffee, a little bit of coffee, they're left in the end.
Yeah, that's the Middle Eastern recipe for that stuff, right?
Yeah, it's like an Egyptian. Our neighbor was a very old lady. She thinks she was like a Spanish Greek or something like that. She was reading this stuff and the trout cart and all this stuff. And she was telling me stuff like that. Even here, in, when I come to move to America, I went to a couple of ladies that they're psychic. And they told me there's a couple of people that done stuff to me like that and from the past. And they told me about that old statue that I stole. I think it was like really, really old Egyptian thing when I was a kid. You know, I really liked that thing. I wanted to play with it. And
let
this two things
is
like been missing off
would
my life.
Like,
all right, go ahead. Go
would
ahead.
You like your, would you like this removed? Because I can remove this and decord you right now.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah. And, I want to know what is it first. Like, what's affected me like so bad? Like,
you're really corded to a number of negative entities, actual entities and energies. We could call them different names, but it doesn't matter. That are kind of draining all good things instead of you. It's a bypass. It's a cording bypass is how I see it in your energy field. So everything good is bypassing you and going to other people and beings. So all we need to do is decord you, remove the frequency. A curse is a frequency. Pull the frequency out of your field, seal your field, and then you need to stay on the straight and narrow. And I think pretty quickly within the next 30 days, you're going to see things start to change. You also need to take action.
I'm sorry to cut you. My curse, like a couple of people told me.
Is it a curse? Go ahead, Kim.
You do have the frequency of a curse still in your field, but you will not after this conversation.
She's cleansed you.
I love you.
You're what cleansed. Do you see in, like, around me?
I'm serious. I feel it all the time. So you're good.
Okay, well, it's gone, whatever it is. It'll be gone in how long, Kim?
It's gone now, but it's equilibrium. You swing one way, you swing another. His life has to catch up with it being gone. It'll be 30 days before he starts to notice things starting to shift for the better. As those things shift for the better, you also take positive action and step into that more positive energy.
In your opinion, what is a curse? What is a curse?
It can be a lot of things. It depends upon, again, individual curse. You can touch a cursed object that has said blankety, blankety, blank. We've all seen blank Indiana Jones movies. You know, blankety, blankety, blank will happen to you. So usually a curse is pretty specific. You know, generally, they don't just think generalized bad thoughts, you know. A curse is a way of imparting a residual, lasting energy to someone that you don't like, or to protect an item that you want to remain attached to you. There's a lot of reasons for curses.
Let's go to Lauren in Vancouver, Canada. Hello, Lauren. Welcome to the show.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking
sure
my call.
Thing. My
first of all, Kimberly, I feel such a connection with you. I don't know what it is, just the way you joke around and talk about how this is an illusion, which I've swore to myself up and down, it's just an illusion. Don't take things too seriously.
Right.
And I have this nagging question. My mom died in my arms in my kitchen 2.5 years ago, about 2 hours before she was going to fly home to LA. And both a year and a half before she died, and then now, I've been finding dimes around my house in the weirdest locations, under my mattress, places that dimes cannot go. And I need to know what this is about.
Yeah, she's smiling. It's her.
She's leaving little signs, huh?
I told my mom it was her grandmother or her mother before that, my grandmother, right?
Tell her to leave quarters instead of dimes.
I said to her, I said, Mom,
$100 bills.
you know what I said? I said, the weight of a dime is probably heavier than the weight of a lotto ticket. Please leave a winning lotto ticket somewhere.
That would be good. Tell me more, Kim.
No, you know, it's just there. We're spirit. Even though we have this body, we are no different than they are. They are spirit. We are spirit. Communication can continue as clearly and as constant as you wish it and as they wish it. So again, ask for what you want. Ask for the signs you want. Ask for visitation. You can go to them. They don't just have to come to you. That's another fallacy. You can go to where they are, and you can learn how to do that. And use your imagination. Your imagination in this realm, in 3D, creates reality. We call it a universe, and we think we refer to the world, but universe means song of one. Start creating your micro reality to please you. And then all of us together, as our frequency comes up, we can change the world. But let's first get our own lives in order and make that the way we'd like it to be.
Kim, can people email you through your website?
Yes, we have a form on our website that they can, comments, questions, yes.
Connie in Daytona Beach, Florida, welcome to the show. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Kimberly. Thank you, George, for taking my
sure
call.
Sure thing, absolutely.
And I would like to ask Kimberly if she sees any negative or positive entities around me, and what does my future look like?
First of all, you're a sweetheart. You are a very, 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 very loving soul, and you've done a lot of things for a lot of people in your life. And I want to encourage you that this time is for you now. This is for you. You start doing things for you. You start looking after you, and you start nurturing and loving you just as well as you've loved everybody else in your life. You have a really strong relationship with nature and with trees, with what we would call the fae, with the interdimensionals. I would really encourage you to develop that as you move through the rest of your life because really, really, they love pure souls. And honey, you are a pure soul. And again, your timelines, I don't think your life is horrible right now. And I think if you do that suggestion, kind of reach out to nature and find the mysteries and the relationship there, it'll get better because they'll really assist you. And it's your time. It's your time to take care of you and for other people to give back to you. There needs to be an energy exchange coming back toward you.
How many people do you think you advise every year, Kim, on the average?
Thousands.
Really?
Thousands? Oh, yeah.
Does it ever wear you down?
Not anymore because I've learned how to protect my energy. I mean, I'll be honest, yes. I mean, certain people, when I don't do what I know I should do, when I don't self-nurture, when I don't take time for myself, when I work too late, when I don't get good sleep, you know, the basic stuff. I mean, we really need to take care of ourselves so we can help other people. You know that. You're one to talk. You're a little bit of a workaholic yourself.
Love it. The secret to everything. Tell us about that.
Secret to everything. You know, it's funny. I used to say, people would say, what is the secret to everything? And I thought I was being clever. I say it's frequency. Everything's frequency. But you know what I've learned, which is really cool, that I've changed that in the last couple of years. The secret to everything is in each one of you remembering who you are. That's the secret.
That is the way to do it. Kim, keep in touch with us. And what's your latest project? What do you do next?
I'm actually starting the Secret to Everything podcast to back up, and next year we're going to do 3 or 4 days in the Sedona Desert, a live event. So those are the things coming up that are a little bit different.
All right. Good luck to you. Keep in touch, okay?
My pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Dr. Kimberly McGeorge, the name of her website, secrettoeverything.com. And, of course, she's got a book that's coming out with the same name, The Secret to Everything. Lyme and autoimmune, as a matter of fact, that's one of them. On our next Coast to Coast program, our investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us. She's got an incredible story with Don Schmidt about extraterrestrials, so make sure you're part of the program. And then in our final hour of the program, Conversations with Cheryl will take your calls. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesour, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.